blessing me to come here today. I have been very, very sick. But let me tell you something, people. God has been more to me than I have even expected during this affliction. Just so near and so dear. And so have the saints been so near and so dear. And today, as we say a few words to you, maybe the last time I get to be with you here. But saints, we'll be looking for you on the other side. No pain, no sorrow, no wheelchairs, no walking stick. Glory! What a mighty God we serve. And how good it'll be forever. No departing hand. No saying goodbye, but forever with one another. Saints, that's worthwhile working for. And heaven will surely be worth it all. I had said to the sister, I don't like to speak with my back to people, but I would rather have my face towards people. Without having a sight, no sight, no different with me. The Lord has been so good to me and replacing so many blessings in my life. It has proved a blessing to my soul to not be able to see. And don't be feeling sorry for me. I am happy. I am happy, do you hear me? I am happy in the Lord. And the Lord wants us to praise the name of the Lord. I remember the first camp meeting I went to. I lived in California when I got saved. And it was, we call it San Fernando then, but they call it Pacoma now. I went to the camp meeting, slept in a tent. That's about all they had in those days before they got the cabinets and things. And I looked at the saints. As they say, it was glorious. And all the hands over the congregation would go up. It was like a beautiful fan. I don't know how we do it now, but oh, I lost my sight of seeing. We let our hands hang down a little. God wants these hands to go up. Amen. This song that I'm singing is true to my soul. This is the way I live. And that's why my hand can go up. One sister said, we were talking about a meeting, and that's when we were helping in Boley, and the stranger wanted to know where the church was and all. And so she said, oh, she told him, oh, you at that congregation that you raise your hand when you sing. I said to myself, if she comes now and don't see many hands go up, she wonder what happened to us. Jesus the same yesterday, and someone say, oh, this is a different generation. Listen, God doesn't change with the generation. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his word is settled in heaven, and it will not pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will stand. We walk out on the earth. We don't think about it passing away. But the heaven, the word of God is more safer than the word, the walk that we walk on in the dirt and whatever we walk in the house. It's safer, the word of God. Glad to hear it this morning. So you pray for me now as we feel the Lord. I haven't been able to read what the Lord wanted me to say, but he brought it to my mind, some scriptures, and maybe I can't quote them all, but you Bible readers know the truth, and we will buy the truth and sell it not. This is what the Lord wants us to do. A few weeks ago, that was the first time I'd been in the service of God in over a year. The Lord sent me there with a prayer burden, and he had not changed the subject. Well, you said, well, it seemed like the Lord would give you something different, but the Lord When John the Baptist was baptizing and the people would come, his subject was the same day and every time repent. So the Lord got thought to me when we were up and going, kind of hated to preach the same message again to the same people. And the Lord said to me, I want you to obey me and preach whatever I give you and leave the results in my hand. And I said, Lord, if you give me the same message 6 times, I promise you I'll preach it again. So I want to be faithful to the Lord. But the thought, I hope everyone is hearing me. The thought we wanted to talk about that the Lord gave us, the power in prayer and the power in praising the Lord. It's power in both of them, praising the Lord and in prayer. And the Lord helped me to know we as the saints of God need to be a little more concerned about prayer and do a little more praying in these last and evil days. Not accusing one of any sin, but a little negligent. Leaving prayer out sometime when we should be on our knees praying. Sometime we're on the telephone talking. But the Lord wants us to pray more and talk less. And the Word of God, I believe it's the 18th chapter of St. Luke, men ought to always pray and not faint. Always pray without ceasing. It's great power in prayer. I was thinking of a time, that was back in Moses' time in the beginning, and I can't remember, it's over in Chronicles, I believe, where a great company, I call them saints, the people of God, but it was the Israel. And it was just a few of them, and there was a great company coming against them. More than one way they was coming. I can't remember the brother that prayed his name, but he said this. He said, this great company that is coming against us, we have no might against them, but our eyes, praise God, our eyes are upon you. Telling God that in his prayer, we have no might against them. It's so much more many than we, but our eyes is upon you, Lord. Listen, we may be the fewest now in number, but let us keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep our ears open to his tender voice at all times. So I believe the man, brother's name was Jehoshaphat. He stood up in the congregation and he said, we will not have to fight in this battle. Great number of people. All you need to do is sing and praise the Lord. And when the battle began, the saints began to sing and praise the Lord. And the enemy, quite a few of them, got so confused, they began to destroy one another. And they didn't stop till everyone was destroyed. Did they have any guns? No. Did they have any weapons? No. Just using their voices to the glory of God. Singing and praising the Lord. It's a lot of power in singing. Sing it from your heart. Don't have to drag a song along. Open your mouth and sing it with all your heart. Open your mouth and praise the Lord. The Word said, let everything have breath. Praise the Lord. We don't praise Him enough. God wants us to praise Him. He's a God of all gods. And He is a wonderful Savior, and we testify. He's a healer in Zion. Yes, He is. He hasn't stopped healing because the people have changes with Medicare and all of these things. God is the same. He's my Medicare. He's my Savior. He's my King. He's my healer. Yes, He's my keeper. Since I've been down to the home, I want to tell you a little something that happened to us not too long ago. We got very, very sick. And I felt it was time for me to go, and I was praising the Lord, but I got where I can hardly say nothing. And they called the nurse, the main nurse from the office. She ran, and she took my blood pressure. And she said to me, oh, Mrs. Williams, your blood pressure is extremely high. Say, we need to take you to the emergency room. I said, what do you mean by the emergency room? She said, I'm going to take you. You need to go to the doctor's. Praise God. You need to go for the doctor's to examine you. It's real serious. I said to her quietly, my doctor, glory, my doctor, Jesus will take care of it. And she was so trembling and so scared. I said, the Lord will take care of it. I trust the Lord, and I'm not going to the hospital, and I'm not going to the emergency or whatever, the measles thing. God have a healing angel. He had a healing hand. So, well, she said, didn't say much. So in about 20 minutes, she come back to take my blood pressure because I was getting pretty sick, and she said to me, Don't talk out of your nose. Talking, I said, I'm doing my best. I could hardly say a word because I was so happy. I thought I was going. And she said, oh, your blood pressure has gone down. God took care of it. Gone down, all is well. Well, he's a great God. I want to urge any of us that don't trust the Lord, and every so often you have to go take an examination and all of this, that the Lord does it. Why are you going for an examination? You say you're not going to take the medicine. No need of paying that money out. Let the Lord do the examining. Let the Lord tell you how to eat and all of this. Well, praise the Lord. I thought of another incident in the Bible. This was when the saints, I call them saints, the children of God, was going around the walls of Jericho, and it was freighted with heavy built and everything. They couldn't get through. So they was advised, I'm sure Joshua got it from the Lord, to go around the wall once a day, every day. But the seventh day, going six times, you're going to need to go around the wall seven times and don't utter a word. Do you know old Seth wants to talk? And sometimes we need to be quiet when we'll say a word. Now, what did you think those dear people, some of them may have corns on the feet, they may have calluses, they may have bunions, rheumatism, whatever. Don't be talking about your feet, it's too sore, don't say a word. Seven times. Then go on one day. The seventh time, and when we around it the seventh time, wall still as strong as it was. You are not to utter anything until the priest blow the trumpet. And then shout! Shout! Those corns and those rheumatism, whatever you got, shout! Praise the Lord. And the wall fell down flat. Nobody took a hammer or a sledge or knocked out one brick. They fell down flat as they praised the Lord and shouted. After they had went around the wall, I'm sure they could be tired. But the word tells me, don't utter a word. Don't be talking about your corns or nothing else. Just keep quiet. That's what we need to do a lot of times when we are talking. Anything go wrong in the congregation, whispering it around and talking it around. The brother said in his word this morning, and I thought it was good. Learn to love one another. If something happens that you don't appreciate, and maybe you get something hurt or nothing, so take it to the Lord. The Lord says, if you come to the altar and you remember that your brother have an altar against you, leave your guilt there. Go and become reconciled with your brother or your sister. Then bring your guilt. And I will hear you. This is the way, but sometimes instead of telling the one what said or did, or just telling the other fellow, that doesn't do any good. But back to the one of the saints, don't utter a word. Well, you know, self is our greatest enemy. You may not want to accept that, but it is. You say the devil. No, if it wasn't for self, the devil wouldn't have nothing to work on. He works on self. Say a pardon. Well, anyway, I thought about this, not uttering a word. I thought about a little poem that we learned when we went to school. The farmer was out, just a farmer and his land and so forth. Nice, beautiful day. And he looked up, and he saw a frog and the two birds flying through the air. He said, who could have thought of such a thing? The frog should have kept his mouth, but he opened his mouth and said, I did. And he fell to the ground. Listen, that old man that called self is often called I. And be sure, as we journey unto the sky, we'll watch that fella that's often called I. That's the one we need to watch. Well, may the Lord help us. I thought of another Bible. I was trying to quote a few things from the Bible and how the Lord works. You said that was way back there in the morning time. I can bring something to you a little closer to the morning time in the evening time in the 1990s and so forth. But this one we want to bring today, Paul and Silas. In jail, nothing but preaching the word of God. And they were put in stocks, beaten, their back was beaten, stripes was left on the body, blood running down. They put the feet in stocks. Way at midnight, they decided, let's sing and praise the Lord. They began to sing and praise the Lord with the back bleeding and the feet in stock. God sent an earthquake from heaven or wherever it came from. He sent an earthquake, burst the jailhouse open, the door. All the prisoners could have left if they wanted to because the doors was open. Listen, and the jailer came with his sword to take his own life. But Paul, the one of the other, cried out, do thyself no harm. Hallelujah. We are all here. No coward, we are right here. Then the jailer came trembling and fell down on his knees. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Oh, it's sometimes the affliction that we go through and keep smiling all the way. It's getting hold to somebody. And the Lord suffers it that way to heaven sometimes. I spoke to Brother Bach just now. He won't be bad, feel better if I say, of his dear wife, one of the praying warriors, suffers with this great affliction. So full enough in the body. How they had to do the turn and everything. Turn it to the glory of God. Sure, could have went and got the doctor and got it all out. But my trust is in the Lord. And if he sees fit for me to stay here and suffer like this, I'm going to suffer to the end. I'm not going to do nothing about it. This is his body. It's not my body. The word says, before he was talking about sanctification this morning, the word says, present your body a living sacrifice. Holy. This is what God is calling for in these last days, saints. Holy, acceptable. It's the only thing he will accept, the holy life. And listen, so many times we find, well, what's the trouble? Cancer. Just might as well to give up. God healed cancer. It's not too hard. He healed one on my toe. It's been several years ago, but God healed it. I couldn't wear a shoe. The odor was so bad, and the corruption was falling, coming out, and so it was miserable. Suffered a year with it, but the Lord healed it. Thank God for it. He is a healer in Zion. He is a healer to whomsoever will believe it, and take healing out of the doctrine. It's no more the church of God to take healing out. And so many don't seem to think that. But the Lord will us to continue to trust Him.
Yeah.
Yea, to the end. And I want to say here, thanks, children. One day we was praying, and the Lord said, pray for the saints' children. And I thought, oh, Lord, that's such a solemn request. We're still doing it today. I don't know, because I can't see you, whether it's saints' children here, saved or unsaved, who are you? Some of you have spoken to me, and I thank the Lord for all of you. But I want you to remember this. I used to say it when we was going around, up on my feet, carrying the word of God, doing the best we could. And I said to the saints' children, it doesn't make any difference whether you saved or unsaved. If you are the saints' children, you belong to me. And I love you. And I want to say that today. If there are unsaved saints' children here today, you know I love you. I love you dearly. And still carrying a burden for your soul. If you're here today and say, I love you dearly, and I want you to keep true to God, keep faithful, heaven will surely be worth it all. Help us all, Lord, to be faithful to the Lord. Someone might say, well, we'd like to hear another incident a little closer than that. It's only nowadays I can tell you about one a little closer when we was pastoring Boley, and one of the sisters got so sick with a rheumatic fever, couldn't turn herself over in the bed, couldn't feed herself, couldn't wash her teeth or nothing, helpless as a newborn baby. And there she laid for a few days, I guess around 6 weeks, couldn't do anything. But her husband, he was not saved, but he was very nice to her. But one day, I would stay down there most of the time. I'd go home for taking care of business. One day, and some time before this one day, Boley, well, I didn't mean to call his name, but this is who it was, Boley Spears and his family. Horse threw him off, and he, I don't know whether he broke his foot, but he was in very much pain. And he'd need to go and feed the stock daily. So that day, this sister was at the mother's house, and she decided, his wife, to go with him. Well, they went to feed the horse. So I was in one room that they had fixed for me to sleep in. And the Lord spoke to my heart. I was sitting there reading the word. He says, time for the devil to take hands off of this daughter. Now, I want you to go in there, anoint her, and pray for her, and he would raise her up. 6 weeks, hadn't been able to walk or anything. So I went in, and I told her, there have been times I said, well, I'll wait till the mother comes, but I didn't feel I needed to wait because the Lord told me to do it then, and we did it. Wasn't no one there but she and I. I went in, and I told her, and we anointed her. While we was praying, she began to move her feet, and she said, I feel the power of God going down through my body. Praise the Lord. So finally, I said, here's your house shoes. Hadn't walked in over 6 weeks. We got her house shoes on. She raised up in the bed herself, and we got the house shoes on, so we went walking into the living room. And so the mother and father were coming. I didn't know, they just were so excited. Oh, what? I said, the Lord has healed her. And let me tell you, people, Boley, he was not saved at the time. And I couldn't stop shouting. I wanted to go in the room and clean the room up while she was sitting up, but I just was shouting. We was all shouting, praising the Lord. And let me tell you what happened, Boley, all of a sudden. The Lord has healed my foot. We was just shouting and praising. And prayed for him, prayed for her, but that was in his way. But praising the Lord and shouting, he touched both his foot and healed it. That was a recent incident. Don't want to be talking so much about myself, but I just want to testify for God. Maybe to be encouragement to someone.
And there was another time, this is when I was living in California, this comes to my mind to tell about this lady. She would come to the saints meeting, but she never did get saved with the saints. One of the saints knew her way back when they were younger and they were friends, and she would come. So she got very, very sick. I didn't hear about it until later, and the Lord spoke to my heart on a Saturday. I was working then, and says, I want you to go to this lady's house Sunday and pray for her. He would heal her. Didn't hardly know her, but my friend knew her. So we went to her house after service. Wasn't but five of us in the congregation, and we didn't have no chapel. We just held service in one of the saints' homes. Five of us. Well, in a way, when the service is over, I'll let them know where I have to go and pray for this lady. So we went in and we told her, the Lord sent us there to pray for her. Would she accept it? She said, oh, yes. I've been sick for 3 weeks. I've suffered and I've tried this and the other. I'm no better. She wanted prayer. So was another lady visiting her, just sitting there. I said, well, so we go to prayer. If you have a request, anybody else? And this lady just spoke up. She said, pray for me, just like that. We prayed for the lady's sake. After we finished praying, she started to, those of you that know anything about raising cattle and cows, how the cows, they kind of sometimes chew up the food and swallow it. They'll sit back up and swallow it again. Well, in a way, this is the way she sounds. Such a heavy, loud belches after we finished praying. So all of a sudden, she started to vomit. I said, get something, get something. They got a big thing, I guess, more than a gallon. She vomited for a long time. I'm sure it was a gallon worth. The odor, the smell, the look of it looked bad. And it smelled worse. Stuff had been in the stomach so long. And I said, well, maybe this is the way the Lord's going to heal her. So she kept vomiting until she got about a gallon of that old stuff. She said, I'm healed. I said, praise the Lord. And the lady sitting there, she said, the Lord has healed my toothache. I didn't know she had the toothache. I just thought she had some kind. The Lord is a good God, folks. He loves us all. The Lord has healed my toothache. I said, well, praise the Lord. We were glad. It's no need of us saying we're in a different generation now. Don't have to do all that praying. The Lord had given wisdom to the doctors to do this and other. God got more wisdom than wisdom. And we're fixing the clothes, but I want to tell you something about the Lord and about His gracious dealing with our souls. Since I have lost my eyesight, and the Lord, and I want all of you to get this because I've testified different places. The Lord said, I'd see as long as I live. And I thought it meant physically. And after the sight began to go and just dark, wasn't able to cook for myself. And I said, Lord, it's time for you, I guess, take me home. You say to see even a question, the Lord. I didn't mean the question, but I prayed. I just wanted to go so bad. I thought it was my time. Well, this vision that I had of seeing, well, this is since I've been without sight. I was hurting so very bad. And every night, seemingly, way in the night, I'd get those same old pains. So I finally told the pastor of the church there in Shawnee, I said, I've been suffering so with my leg. I said, one that I once had blood clots in, and had, this was even before I was saved, had one about 6 inches long. Well, the doctor did move that. I wasn't saved, wasn't trusting the Lord. And I said, oh, it hurts so bad. He said, I'm going to make it a special matter of prayer for you tonight. Well, I lay over the night, those pains came so very hard. And I remember just like the snap of my finger, I moved off into a trance. Oh, I wanted to stay there so much. And in the trance, about 15 minutes of stay there, was a beautiful house made of roses. Maybe you read about it, but I'm telling you now. I was telling something once in Monarch, and I say, I've told you people this once before, how I found the saints, and I guess you get tired of hearing it. Someone cried out, tell it again! Well, I'm telling it again tonight, this afternoon. And this house was made of roses. Nothing but beautiful roses, and it was so, the odors and the fragrance and everything was beautiful. Not a dry leaf on, no stem. And the bottom was made of roses, top, sides, and all. And I said, what kind of place is this? I've never been in a place like this in my life. And I felt so good. Oh, I felt so good. Well, the Lord let me enjoy that about 15 and 20 minutes, but He just moved it on out of the way. I woke up. But let me tell you, when He moved that seed out of my mouth, the pain went with it. Oh, when I woke up, I felt so good. Saints, He's a healer. He's a savior. He's a keeper. Well, in a way, I was telling it in another vision I had of the angel came to visit me. And that angel had pretty beautiful white wings. The cross was beautiful, and above it was a light. And somehow, the angel came, this is when I was doing a lot of suffering, from behind the cross to the side. And she kept stooping over, and I've been told, don't say a word. If you say anything, they'll leave. I can be quiet. Stooping over until she got one wing. If I have to stand in the judgment, this is the truth. It happened. She got on one wing on one side of me, and the other wing on the other, like a mother chicken does her little chick. Ooh, you talk about a good feeling. Oh, it was so precious. And she moved the way it didn't. I'm glad. I know that she knew I couldn't stand much of that, not with these feeble eyes and so forth. But she moved away, and when she moved away, the pain moved with her. Well, praise the way. When she disappeared, so did the pain. So I told one of the sisters about it, and I said, well, all of this I had seen, and I told her I wanted to talk to her because my eyesight was about gone, and the Lord hadn't taken me yet, and I'm still here, and He told me I'd see as long as I live. And she said, well, do you want me to anoint you? I said, no, I just want to talk to you. The word tells prophets are subject to the prophet, the minister. She said, oh, Sister Catherine, what you told me about that vision you saw of the house and Rose House and the angels, that is what the Lord meant. You would see more spiritual things. And I clapped my hands. I said, well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, right here with no sight at all, but He gives a beautiful vision of sight and things. He helps out in everything. I want to close by saying this again to the saints' children. Dear children, if you hear and say, keep safe. Trust Him to the end. Keep faithful to the Lord at the peril of your life. Heaven will pay off for all of it over there. Yes. Saints, children, are you here? And you're not saved. God is dependent on you to come home. He loves you because you belong to the saints, but more than just loving, He feels responsible for you. And the one thing the Lord helped me to know, who's going to carry the church of God on when all of these old heads are gone? Young people, young saints, children, get ready. Search your life. As a brother was saying, he got saved and how he went back on the Lord, but how he got back, I said, well, thank the Lord. The Lord want to use you children that belong to the saints. He wants you to be a pillar in the church of God. He wants you to be saved. I have a memo and a little reading in the Word where David said, I was young, but now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He's ever merciful, and his seed, his children, are blessed because of the life that they live for him. And you know, David says, he anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy of God shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Saints, let us be careful what we eat. When I say eat, I mean spiritually. Careful what we talk about. Because we all will be the most responsible people at the judgment than anybody. Because you had heard the word. Sometime an old minister could hardly preach. Didn't get up with the word, been fasting and praying to give food out to the flock. And you just don't pay it any attention. You go on about and just, oh, well, it was a good message. But the Lord wants us to obey those good messages. You'll be responsible for them at the journey. Well, I wasn't there. If you was able to come to service and you went on somewhere else, you're responsible for the message that went forth. This sounds pretty hard, maybe, saints, but this is true. The Lord wants us to be faithful to him, and he will be faithful to us. I often tell the saints or anyone else, do business with God, and he will do business with you. As we close, we would like to tell an incident again about myself, but it won't take us long. Before I got saved, my voice was very weak, very tiny sounding. Even the lady I worked for, she said, Captain, your voice is so weak. I didn't know what word to use. Light. Said, try to speak up a little louder when you talk on the phone and take a message so you know. But I got sick with my tonsils because I wasn't saved. I went to the doctor. He said, I'm going to give you some medicine so your tonsils is full of pus and I cannot take them out until you get all of this inflammation and infection out of your throat. You take this and then when it's cleared away, I will take out the tonsil. Well, I thought about it. I talked to the Lord. And I said, Lord, if you will heal my tonsil, I will use my voice for your glory. I'll get saved. Let me tell you something. The Lord heard that feeble little prayer. I don't know whether he took them out. I don't know what he did, but he changed my voice. He healed my tonsil. And today, I talk just as strong today as I did when I was up walking around. Doesn't make any difference. Someone called me on the phone and said, Sister Catherine, how do you feel? Oh, tell her. Say, you sound so good. You sound like you. I say, well, this voice does not belong to me. It belongs to the Lord. It's God's voice. Get sick as it may, but the voice still the same. So I want you to still pray for me that the Lord would help me to use my voice to the glory of God, not for no kind of getting around, talking in a garden, but for Jesus, and be faithful to the end. I want to say to the safe children again, I'm so burdened for you, I can hardly talk without calling your name, but I love you. Saved or unsaved, you belong to me and I'm praying for you. If you are saved, I'm praying the Lord to keep you saved. I thought about a brother came to me. It was very encouraging since I've been to in the rest home. He lives somewhere in Ohio. And he not so many want to come in. And I would like to head up myself up a little for a minute, but I was all right. I was head pulled and everything. So, Catherine, I'm so glad to get to talk to you. I'm a minister. And he went on to say about some of the tapes. He talked and he talked. He says, I want to be faithful to the end. I said, he will. I said, you be faithful to the Lord. He'll be faithful to you. And regardless where he so ordained you to work, if it's a small place or a great place, be faithful. I said to the Lord when he was calling me to the ministry, I said, Lord, if I said it, and I didn't mean to be rebellious, but I just said, Lord, if you would use me like I see you using thus and so, I wouldn't mind preaching. He said, if you will be faithful in that little place that I so ordained for you to work, you will be just as important in my sight as you think that this man. Just be faithful. All he wants, little or big, be faithful to the Lord. Well, let us do some special praying. The camp night meeting is coming. It's already started. This is the first one I know about. Let us do some special praying. It was said up there to some of the neighbors at Monarch that, well, one thing they miss. When the saints come, they don't hear all that praying like it used to. But let it be this year when you go. I don't think I'll be there. Do some special praying. Praying before you go. Praying after you get there. When you come to Wednesday night or whenever you have your prayer meeting, don't just get down one or two and say a few words. Pray until you do pray and pray through. Need to wet the altars more for our children and our loved ones that's going astray. We need to wet the altar more in prayer for them. Before we close, I kind of like, if you don't mind it, I forgot to tell the other part of the house. After the Lord, I was just telling the Lord and people, just like I'm telling you, how beautiful it was and everything. And the Lord spoke to my heart. And all I saw, he said, you didn't see no hammer in that house. I said, no, Lord, I didn't. He said, you didn't see no nail in that house. I said, no, Lord, I didn't. No brick, no cement blocks. And I said, Lord, I didn't see no putty and no kind of glue that you glue up, glue the rug. But he let me know it's a house not made with hands. Then he let me know if I could make the whole world speak it in existence in 6 days and rest the seventh, surely I can make a house not made with hands. We serve a mighty God. Can we sing a song, the house not made with hands? Before we close, a group came to visit me a few nights ago. And I thought that was my camp meeting, but I still wanted to come here. And they sang and sang and they sang that house. I said, yes, sang that house. That number, the house, not made with. Let's sing it with all our heart. Sing it like it would be the last time we sang it. House, not made with hands. And then when the Lord told me I didn't see all of these things, and he said, well, no stickers in the those roads. I said, no, it wasn't, Lord. It's just like walking on velvet. House, not made with hands. Someone know that number? Can leader, the leader here? House. And that scripture came to my mind where the word says over there in 2 Corinthians 5:1, wherefore we know when this earthly house is dissolved, we have another building, a house not made with hands, eternally into heaven. This is the house we're talking about tonight. Saints, I must be there. I must go in.